Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I am your host, Billy Palhan, and with me, as always, is the giant peach to my James, Mr. Raul Rodriguez. How are you, buddy?
I do have a giant peach. Yes, I'm doing very good. Thank you very much. Yes, this is Raul, as always, but...
Why'd you have to make it dirty?
I mean...
There are children in this audience, sir.
Yeah, children, in quotes.
They're children at heart.
I mean, man, that is true. But yes, today we're going to end our Roald Dahl month with one of the most interesting, adaptations of his. But I kind of admire the way that it was made, though. James and the Giant Peach.
Yep, based off of the 1961 book. So this is one of Dahl's earliest works.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that is early. And also, this is directed by Henry Selick, the same director of The Nightmare Before Christmas.
And it's also produced by Tim Burton.
And also, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the same director of Coraline, right?
Henry Selick did do Coraline, and he also... did a classic from your time, Monkey Bone.
Yes!
He tends to work with stop motion.
Mm-hmm.
And we're never covering Monkey Bone, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. We might do a watch-along for that, maybe.
Brendan Fraser month,
maybe. Maybe if we ever covered Brendan Fraser's career, then maybe. It was a bad time in his career. Actually, I think it might have been like peak because I think that came out the same year as The Mummy Returns.
This is before The Mummy, I think, Monkey Bone.
No, I think it's after The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Because 99 was The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're here to talk about James and the Giant Peach. It is both a live action and stop motion.
And very interesting mix.
Very. And much like... a lot of Dahl's work. This was a bomb at the box office.
Yes. That is really crappy, though.
It's kind of hard to describe this one because you're going to see this is one of the weirdest stories we've ever covered, and that's saying a lot.
The plot doesn't make any sense if you think about it.
I'm convinced that Roald Dahl just smoked a ton of... PCP and then just wrote down whatever demented thoughts he had in his mind.
Like, you can see that it represents everything that he consumed in that bag full of worms that glow.
I mean, yeah. And also the fact that Randy Newman did the music, not his finest hour.
Newman.
But yeah, so sneaky with the mail.
Yeah, so the movie starts that James was a kid with his parents, living a normal, beautiful life. And then a storm happened, but he described it that it was a big rhino. But before his parents disappeared, that the rhino took them, they were describing their dream to go into New York. And I love how the parents described that New York is a city of so many great places and spots. And it felt like it was going to go into the moment from the American Tale. There is no cats in America. There is no cats in America. I had to reference
and the American streets Tale. Are paved with
cheese.
Obviously,
Bible.
New York is,
Bible.
Is not that way. But I was just starting the opening. It was like, this is James. Narrator, by the way, the late Pete Postlethwaite. Last time we saw him was in The Lost World. As the hunter.
Oh, the guy that says that look, the one that looks like Elvis?
No, the guy with the cheekbones.
Oh, that one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's also this random old man that gives James these magical worms.
That's what I'm saying. The guy, the hunter from The Lost World.
He's yep, the guy, that's the one.
He has the line, I was like, the one that looks like Elvis.
Oh, in this movie, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about in The Lost World. I'm like, what are you talking about?
In The Lost World, he has a line about a dinosaur that says, that get that dinosaur, the one that looks like Elvis. He
also has that line. Oh, yeah. I still can't get over the fact that they were hunters, but they didn't know what they were hunting.
That's a thing that I like. Yeah, so, and then
this out-of-pocket moment, it was just like, okay, here's James and his parents. And then suddenly, a cloud with a rhinoceros came and gobbled his parents up. I did a double take. I had to rewind it, and I was like, what? Like, it couldn't have been like a wolf or something that's like a carnivore, a rhinoceros.
And then really? in Billy's head canon is Paul Giamatti from The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I am the rhino! Academy Award winner Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, and no, he's not an Academy Award winner.
You think he won for Sideways?
I don't... well, maybe. I'll look that up. But I'll tell you what makes this worse was this happened on James' birthday.
Oh, I forgot about that detail. Yes, so then we go into... now we see that James is a very lonely boy. And I love the way that the set looks, though. Even though it looks a little bit like a stage play. But I do like how it looks, though. The dreariness of it. Very dark. And these women are so mean. But I like how over-the-top mean they are. It feels like Cinderella's stepmother up to 100. Like, oh, up to 200%. And Spider, and I forget the other one's name.
Spiker and Sponge.
Spiker and Sponge. I thought it was Spider. Spiker.
Sponge, played by Miriam Margolyes. If you've seen Harry Potter, Professor Sprout. Or recently in Doctor Who as the Meep.
Oh, yes, she was the Meep.
Very illustrious career, but she's also the voice of Mrs. Glowworm in this movie. And yeah, they continue the tradition of Roald Dahl adults being over the top cartoon caricatures.
Yes.
That just abuse this poor kid and make him a mentally abused shut in.
Also, the way that they feed him fish heads, damn. Like, he does all of the work at that place. Also, he's never stated what these women do for a living. I was like, wait, are they retired? Are they waiting for money? Are they just living from the food stamps from James? That's the other thing that I also wonder about it. And then this is the thing that I'm confused with the plot. Because now we're talking about the guy from the last world. He shows up. He gives James this pack of magic worms instead of magic beans.
He calls them crocodile tongues.
That looks like weed. That this is the thing that I'm confused. And I don't know if I missed a second of the movie. Did one of the worms went to the tree? Or did he drop the bag and the tree grow the peach?
He dropped the bag. And I think this is just Roald Dahl's version of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yes, that's the best way to describe it.
Because then, in that tree, we see a peach grow. And then it starts growing and growing until it's enormous, like the size of a house. And so, what do the ants do? They pull a Grunkle Stan and they make a tourist trap out of it.
I like
to be fair, I would do the same. I'd make a tourist trap. Step right up for the world's biggest peach. Don't touch it or eat it.
I mean, like, this is exactly the same, though. That is
true. Yeah, Grunkle Stan would totally do this.
And also, the guy before this happens, I love what he says. It was like, you are miserable because this is what you have been. I was like, the thing that you want is right. What you're dreaming is not far. It's about what you look at forward and what you have within. It's very important, though.
It's the very on the nose messages.
I know, but also this is made me think about him. Is he kind of like a genie, a god? Is he like a fairy? Like, they never wanted to stay where he was.
They never explain certain things. except certain things need to be explained. They just don't.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also to answer your Paul Giamatti question. No, he was nominated, but he's never won.
Oh.
Which is horse crap because he should win because Paul Giamatti's put in the work for years and he's great.
He should
have where are my Big Fat Liar fans at?
He should have won for Big Fat Liar, yes.
Now I'm just laughing at his funny moments from carryover from last week of Planet of the Apes as an orangutan, which apparently he had a lot of fun playing. Red like the color of the peach, even though peaches are orange, but orange like an orangutan and like the peach. And also I don't know why I'm laughing, but yeah, I love Paul Giamatti. But what does happen is James has a crappy song.
€10 to see the peach and not even take a photo. I love how they take it as property so quickly. And how they invade their business. And I love when the lady was like, and for you, father, it's $10. I was like, wow, you. And I love how the father was like, you women are in sin, but thank you. The father goes in.
I think he said, may God forgive you.
May God forgive you. I was like, damn.
That's a good one. But what does happen is one night, James gets called because he hears music, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw that, also continues the tradition of adults hating bugs.
Yes.
From Matilda. So this actually is a good through line. And as they want to kill a spider.
And abusive caretakers.
These are probably the most psychotic. We get a lot of uncomfortable close-ups with them.
And the focus on the makeup, you know what it reminded me of? Like, the makeup of them felt like they were kind of like zombies, but also felt like they were like the witches from The Witches.
Maybe that was intentional. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But what does happen is James is just like, screw this. This is a giant peach. I'm hungry. So he takes, there's no other way to describe it, but the end of the peach and takes a huge chunk out of it and then sees and that.
He's naked first.
He does. What he does do is he decides to enter that said peach, and there's only one way to describe it. It is that scene from The Boys. If you, you know what scene I'm talking about, because it looks very provocative.
Mm-hmm.
Just say that much. As he turns from live action to stop motion.
Mm-hmm.
And they never explain why. He never goes, oh my gosh, I'm stop motion. I'm clay. Ah, he doesn't do that. No,
he doesn't care. But also, this is the other thing that is interesting, though. He's only stop motion in the peach. When we get to the end, I'm like, wait a damn minute.
Well, whenever he's... Well, most of the movie takes place on the peach. So
I know. But when he's out of the peach, he's still human. But I'm talking about spoilers. When the bugs are still stop motion.
Yeah. One of many plot holes.
Yes. But
what does happen is he invades, and this movie, it's the same kind of stop motion that Nightmare Before Christmas had.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really cool, and like how it's animated is very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, probably because they had the same director. But we meet the characters here are six bug characters. There's Mr. Grasshopper, who I'm pretty sure is just Niles Crane from Frasier. Mr. Centipede, who is voiced by Richard Dreyfuss. Mm-hmm. And he is just a New Yorker, kind of a show off, sort of like Phil from Hercules, a little bit. Miss Spider, spider that James saved earlier, voiced by Susan Sarandon, doing a French accent. Yes, that is. I wish you guys could see his face right now.
Wow.
Mr. Earthworm, voiced by Lupin from Harry Potter, another Harry Potter alumni. His name is David Thewlis. Mrs. Mm-hmm. Ladybug. Speaking of Frasier, Daphne from Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Glowworm, also voiced by Miriam Margulies, mm-hmm. who is Aunt Sponge. And then they search, as the ants look for James, because obviously they don't want to file a missing persons report and mm-hmm. get their property taken away from them. Mr. Centipede cuts the stem, and then it rolls into the Atlantic Ocean. So they're on the side of the Atlantic Ocean.
And what? Also, it goes over the car, and they don't die. The ants. No.
Nope.
Interesting.
And so then they're just like, okay, I guess this peach is taking us somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, because it's in the water. So, it's taken him to New York City. Yay. And what do? How are they going to steer it? They get a flock of seagulls to help.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're each tied with a string to the peach stem. Because they use Mr. Earthworm as bait. They come in. And
I look, he has the sunglasses. I look at the wiggle him.
He's basically our friend Morgan. Just yes. always like Mr. Negative about everything mm-hmm. and is like, we're going to die. And I like the detail that they gave him like sunglasses as well because mm-hmm. He lives underground.
And I love that all of the bugs have a personal tie to James because they all have seen him suffer with the ants. I do like that tiny detail too.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. And, so James has always dreamed of visiting the Empire State Building mm-hmm. because it's the tallest building in the world. This is in 1948, so technically he is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to go to the top of the Empire State Building. I made it, Ma, top of the world. It's a deep old movie cut, but either that or he just wants to really see King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But what does happen is... out of nowhere, another WTF moment, there is a random mechanical shark.
I have questions about this mechanical shark.
I thought there was a guy in there. Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea Captain Nemo situation.
I thought it was like, the ants for a moment.
Yeah, and they just never explain it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was all like in James's head. As a way like to a cope Wizard of Oz with kind the ants.
Yeah.
Like a Wizard of Oz sort of thing, apparently. Nah, it's not really. Also, this is a musical, and the music is not great.
No, the music sucks.
It's very generic.
Mm-hmm.
Much like most of Randy Newman's music. I'll prefer Thomas Newman over Randy Newman. Yes. Although You've Got a Friend in Me is an all-time favorite.
I mean, like one of his only hits, though. I have to be honest, too. You've Got a Friend in Me is one of the only good ones.
Yeah. I mean, he's done great stuff. Princess and the Frog, obviously mm-hmm. Toy Story. But, yeah, this is not one of his finest.
No.
Oh, and then we also get a quick little adventure with... undead skeletal pirates in the Arctic Ocean.
Yes.
Because I guess they need to... Oh, yeah, they got to find a compass. Because...
To get to New York, but don't forget...
To get to New York.
This is the thing that I'm also... I have a question about the logic here. The map that James has from his parents... Suddenly, like in Indiana Jones, has a photo of the peach... And can also track the peach's travel log?
Yeah, if they established if this was like a fantasy, that'd uh-huh. be one thing. But they don't. Things just happen.
Mm-hmm.
No segues or anything. It just does. And, the skeletal pirates, by the way, are the same puppets. Literally, mm-hmm. the captain is Jack Skellington's puppet.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of cool. Even does literally the same faces and everything, which I'm fairly certain they just recycled from Nightmare.
Mm-hmm. And you know another thing that I wondered before the pirate scene, when everybody's celebrating that they're flying with the seagulls, one thing that I wonder about the seagulls, how big is the peach? Number two.
Well, there are a lot of seagulls.
I know, but still, and then number two, and I'm like, then James like, we cannot die from hunger. We live in a peach. We can just eat it. I was like, but what if you eat it all? Didn't you thought about that, James?
Well, it's the size of a house. Can't eat all of it.
I mean,
like, I mean, you saw how much he took. He took like a small, minuscule.
The Richard Dreyfuss centipede was really hungry. He wanted to kill everybody.
He was just high as hell.
Mm-hmm.
All those earthworms, or those all those crocodile tongues.
And also, you don't want to talk about high, the sequence of him thinking that he's kind of like a worm eating the peach. It feels like a very 60s kind of Beatles kind of music video sequence.
This was a 60s story, so I guess it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but talking about the animation, that he's like Jack, James. He's kind of like in a worm and he's eating from the peach, and then the ants pop up. And I love that the ants feel like a very weird painting of how they move in this animation in the nightmare. I was like, it's eating our peach. And I love how he's just running away and they're trying to kill him with the pesticide. I mean, like, I want to mention because that's one of the only scenes that I really admire from the scene. I like when that movie goes weird in some animation, and that's why I like that scene, though.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really pay off at all. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the spider that is just like, I prefer to be alone. And I'm like, where have we seen this? Mm-hmm. She's singing and dancing with everybody. She seems to get along with everybody. What are you talking about?
And also, it feels like they were hinting that the centipede and the spider had a thing.
Sort of. They were just like, oh, the centipede's been everywhere in the world. I'm like, where? When has this been mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy? Maybe I am, because what does happen is... they get attacked by the effing rhino that's like in the Mufasa cloud.
Yes, this is CNN.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same one that killed James' parents. And he's scared. He gets everyone down. And what he does is literally just be like, I'm not scared of you or anything.
I'm not afraid anymore. Ah!
Pretty much he does the Kevin from Home Alone. Yes. I feel terrible for referencing all these other movies, but there's really no other way to describe this.
There is no plot in this movie. There's barely in it.
It's weird, because it's not a long movie.
You know what? This is the best way to talk about this movie. It feels like it was like 20 short films rolling to one.
It feels like a weird fever dream.
Mm-hmm.
At least Fantastic Mr. Fox had a plot.
Yeah, even though I'm not a fan of that movie, but that story did have a
plot. That had a through line. It had a plot. It might have been presented weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's just like, okay, this is this boy and a giant peach having adventures. Like you said, a bunch of short stories.
But I do love the animation, though.
Yeah, and then what happens is the peach gets stuck at the top of the Empire State Building. It just impales it.
Mm-hmm.
And
we did mention the skeleton pirates, right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we also see some peach juice fall on a lady with a white coat and a cop who I gotta look this up.
Familiar. I have seen this guy before.
Yeah, that's the guy from Dumb and Dumber.
Yes, the guy from the fucking bed.
Pills are good. You know that guy that was trying to kill Harry and Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he died with the when they accidentally poisoned him.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's just like, "What the heck is going on?" Because he's just as flabbergasted as everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I love the matte paintings in the city and just how cheap New York looks. You can tell it's clearly a set.
Yes.
But it's also not trying to be like, oh, like shot on location, New York City. No, it's just like, kind of like a storybook.
That's the thing that I also like. That is kind of like a detail that I wanted to say. I do like that a lot, though. But also, this is another plot hole that I want to talk about. How did the ants got in their car from whatever part of Europe all the way to New York? From London to New York.
Also, I'm pretty sure London is not on the edge of the Atlantic Ocean.
I was thinking that they were kind of like a Lemony Snicket side of Ireland.
This does feel very Series of Unfortunate Events.
Mm-hmm.
Like the car apparently went through the water. So what you're saying is that they drove underneath the ocean because they're like soaking wet and everything.
That's what I'm saying. Full of seaweed. Canon it that maybe they got a ride from the shark, the mechanical shark.
Maybe. And anyway, James gets rescued by fireman because he's like, I'm looking for the Empire State Building. And they're like, kid, you're on it. He's like, yeah. All right, fine. I'll come down. And then the ants arrive and then they're just like, oh, we're here to claim our nephew and this peach.
They claim immediately that he's insane.
Yes. And then here's another plot hole that happens. And then James just tries to tell, oh, yeah, I was here with Mr. Centipede and Mr. Grasshopper and Miss Spider. And then everyone's like, what are you talking about? Basically confirming their suspicions that he's crazy. And the ants are like, yeah, see, we got to get him. Oh, yeah, and the peach, because that's our property. And they even brought, like, they brought the receipts, literally.
Yes!
Too, and I'm like, okay, so the ants are actually
kind of
they have legitimate claims.
Yes.
Also, they are right. Technically, they are his legal guardians. They might be terrible people and over the top cartoon characters, but they are. But there's no Miss Honey in this scenario.
Yes, there is no fairy tale character that kind of like that way, though. I do like that.
Oh, yeah, and then literally how it ends. Because we're almost at the end of the movie. This is going to be one of our shortest episodes ever.
Yes.
They're like, oh, you're lying. And then he's like, nuh-uh. Yeah, you are. Nuh-uh. I'm not afraid of you anymore. I'm done lying.
And I was like, you told me that I was nothing, but then I'm somebody. I travel in a giant beach. I got here to New York. I am somebody. You guys are nothing. And this is for me the ultimate wait a damn minute. Because James in New York, he's already a real boy again because he's out of the peach. And the Bucks got out of the peach. So it was stated that maybe they were dead. But then they dropped from the clouds in animation form. So we're saying that the people can see the bugs, the giant bugs that got raised in this scenario.
And that they're stop motion. And that they can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the ants are freaking out. They're just like, bugs! Ah! So, basically, James just said, nuh-uh, like, three times. And so what do the ants do? They grab fire axes and try to kill him. Right in front of everybody.
In New York.
That's so insane that it's almost, it's too funny.
Yes, I do like that, though. And then this is the other thing that I also wonder that the cop let James get away with it. All of the two ants get whipped up, like in Lord of the Rings, grabbed by a cane.
And just where did the crane come from?
Well, remember that all of the cranes save James.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I love that they literally are just, like, wrapped up, and then they're just like, get them out of here.
I'm like, they could be dead, though.
Couldn't you just lower them and just, like, put them in a police car like a normal policeman?
You could just wrap half of them and just put them in the police car, not all of them, because they look like they were not breathing.
Yeah. But anyway, they end up getting arrested. So then, oh yeah, he lets the kids eat the peach because, yeah, it's a giant peach. Why would you not want to eat it?
In New York. So that will get eaten in a few hours.
I'll give it a 15 minutes. And then what does happen is really cool. The pit of the peach is made into a little cottage in Central Park where James is living with the bugs. And they are now his new surrogate family. And he finds, you know, success and fame in the city. Why you would live in a peach pit in Central Park? It's not the fact that you live in a peach pit. That's cool. But Central Park is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, someone
especially at night
to destroy that pit.
They would have destroyed that house or whatever.
Watch it, kid.
Yeah, and he's just basically just telling about his stories in the giant peach, and
then the guy from the last world pops up at the end saying that, like, well, now he has the purpose of telling his story, or maybe I told him to tell his story. I was like, wait a minute.
And then he's saying this, looking directly into the camera too. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
And then we get a crappy Randy Newman song and literal 1930s newspaper flipping to the screen to see what happened to the characters. So Mr. Centipede ran for New York mayor and is now James' surrogate father.
Spider, he was a very high New Yorker, though. He did like New York a lot.
Yeah, Miss Spider opened a club
that and looks is his like surrogate Caroline's mom.
Looks like Coraline's mom, yes. Mr. Earthworm became a mascot for a skincare company and sort of like either became the uncle or the cousin or whatever. Mrs. Ladybug becomes an obstetrician.
Yes.
And it was like, congrats on delivering 1,000 babies.
Jesus.
Christ. And James's surrogate aunt. And then Mr. Grasshopper becomes a concert violinist because he was the one playing the music. And, yeah, he becomes James' grandfather figure-ish. And Mrs. Glowworm becomes the light and the torch of the Statue of Liberty.
Yes!
And his grandmother figure. And keep in mind, James has only turned apparently, James is so famous that his birthday is in the newspaper, and he is now 9. Oh, yes. And how could I forget that there's actually a post-credit scene in this movie?
Wait, really?
Yes. It shows, it's just a pair of hands playing a game called Spike the Ants, and involves the rhinoceros hitting the ants in the rear.
Nice.
I don't know why it's there. Maybe it's something from the book. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing about James and the Giant Peach is that Dahl dedicated this book to his 6-year-old daughter, who passed away from complications of measles only a year after the book was published. And that was because they didn't have a vaccine for measles at that time. So Dahl became an advocate for vaccines.
Nice.
He also dedicated the BFG to her as well. So yeah, that stinks, but I thought that was also very sweet. One of the few sweet things Roald Dahl did in his life. Because by all accounts, he was a bastard. Just look up Roald Dahl Jews. It's bad. But you know what? This movie, I can understand the cult appeal.
Yes.
It looks great. Animation's great. For the most part, performances are also decent. It's just that this is just a weird drug trip. And it's quite a lot, because a lot of stuff makes absolutely no sense. I don't know what I got out of it, but I got, you know, I can say I've now seen it.
I saw this in theaters, and I still remember when I saw it, I was like, wait. I even was weird. I was like, wait, what happened? Like, I liked it when I was a kid, but I still had doubts, and I'm as an adult, and I'm like, yeah. I'll give this movie a 6. It's not bad. It's not horrible. It's not the worst thing that I have ever seen.
It's not the worst Roald Dahl adaptation.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty certain the BFG is worse.
Yes.
Which is surprising because that was a Steven Spielberg movie. But yeah, I'm gonna have to give this movie a 6.2. It's fine.
If I'm gonna rewatch it, I will have not liked the viewing of this movie.
Am I ever gonna rewatch it? No, not particularly. But yeah, we got an extra bonus episode, I guess, of Roald Dahl. So we've covered most of his famous works. I still think, for me, obviously his best story is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, because it's creative, weird, but it has a cohesive narrative.
And I appreciate, for me, that my favorite story is The Witches.
Yeah, because of that's also just the darkest one. And there's always like this sick edge. Like, even in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, there's like this macabre feeling that you get in a lot of his stories. And they all have like similar tropes. But ultimately, at the end of the day,
it's all about a lesson.
Yes, it's all about teaching kids lessons. These are children's books, and there's a reason why they've endured for decades.
And I will say that's why I like The Witches, because it's the strongest message about do not trust strangers.
And yeah, it's all stuff that scanty. It's stuff that kids need to hear. And yeah, whether he did it for selfish reasons or not, he was damn good at making fantastic stories. And with that, I think we're going to conclude Roald Dahl month, but then next month, I will get, I'll just reveal the slate for next month, because it's Raul's birthday month.
Yay!
So we're going to conclude another thing of M. Night Shyamalan. It's Shyamalan 3, The Happening.
Yes!
We're not covering The Happening. We've already done that.
Did that one.
That was a great episode with our friend Gwen. But we are doing a... Let me see if I can just pull up the schedule, because we have nothing but the best here. We're going to start with After Earth.
Yeah.
I will always say this joke because Raul gets mad every single time. His life story, Old. It's the best birthday movie you could have.
God damn it.
And then we're getting Knock at the Cabin.
Yes.
And then we're going to do something different. We're going to review a full TV series. He didn't create it, but it's very much...
Very him.
He was very him, and he was heavily involved in the style. And he even managed to make some episodes. Servant on Apple Plus.
And also, so it counts as a Shyamalan thing because his daughter directed a lot of episodes.
Yeah, Ishana, who's coming out with a new movie as well called The Watchers.
Oh, it looks good.
It does look good. Unless it has a stupid twist. We'll figure it out. Either way, I hope she is as entertaining as her father. And speaking of Knight, he's also got a movie coming out this year.
Shyamalan, baby.
Trap. In the fall, I think.
Yeah, Trap.
Trap. So we won't have enough to cover those movies. They won't be out on time, but yep, we're concluding our M. Night Shyamalan.
This is a very good year for me. 2 Shyamalans for the present one. Yes, but yeah, we'll continue. We're fine. That's the other thing. He had never done a full, almost full filmography of a director. This is like gonna be like completing the Shyamalan thing.
Well, we might be able to on if one of our choices gets picked in July.
Oh, that's
we could
true
do about all of it about him if he gets picked.
Going. Yeah.
But either way, I'm excited for the choices that are going to be given there. This is going to be entertaining and everything.
Yes.
But look, until then, where can the good people find you, buddy?
You can find me at SobisRoveraDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd.RoveraDC. Please follow the podcast on SYN Spot on Twitter. Give us a review on Apple, Spotify, and the other one saying you, Billy.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter, even though I'm trying not to use it as much. Mm-hmm. And Letterboxd at MasterofPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow the main show Twitter at SYNSPod, as well as give us a 5-star and just write a review on Apple Podcasts. And also you can follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized. But you can also listen to our podcast on Apple, Spotify for podcasters, wherever podcasts can be listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun.